to a Tuesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Hoare is always alongside. We'll take you to three, hand it off to our good buddy Phil Benatti. His fine show behind the bench. The full 3 hours today. Lakers and the Jazz coming up later on 1430. I'll tell you all about the schedule for both 1430 and 790, not only for today, but for the rest of the week, or close to the rest of the week, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. When we go over the schedule for both stations, I will, again, tell you about the great fundraising Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering. Jackson with me on a Tuesday, the first of two visits with our de facto co-host, football and basketball, because we have Stephen F. Austin in, and again with the other four guys. You know, it's the running joke all the time. William and Mary and the other three, Stephen F. Austin and the other four, the Bulldogs tonight against the Lumberjacks at 6 o'clock. I hope to get to that with Jackson. If we have time, we will. I know he'll be threading tonight from SMC, but we want to talk football first. But before we get there with our de facto co-host, other lead dogs, want to spend some time with you, as they do every day. First, our friends at KFC, talking about the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Right now, it's a throwback at those KFCs to the late 90s. They have the classic honey barbecue flavor on everything, on the chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and, of course, the crispy golden pieces you know and love. Deals on 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals. Also, the Tuesday deal still in place. It's been there for a good long while, $10 for the 8-piece bucket or 8 tenders. Wednesday, you have the country fried steak for $5.99. I know they've got a great deal on their chicken pot pies as well. So a lot going on at the local KFCs. And again, with the original honey barbecue sauce on everything, it's sweet, savory, and back in the game for not only October, but November, and we'll see how long it's there. But don't wait on it, because it's for a limited time, and KFC has always been and always will be finger-licking good. And if you stop in to those local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout the valley. Other reminders, the weather comes courtesy of another longtime sponsor and a longtime valley business, and that is Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, been in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them to do work, even during COVID. Really professional people, very competitive pricing, very timely. Anything you need, give them a call, 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or leesair.com on the web. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. That's how I not only bring up my guests, Phil does as well, but Phil can bring up callers from the general public. So mark that one down, 559-320-1430. As far as the forecast goes, the rains for at least 48 hours are close to it, or maybe a little over 24, have left us mercifully after 2.5 to 3 inches of rain on the valley floor. Of course, the burn scar areas, the foothills, that was problematic. We know Southern California has gone through flooding now because of all the burn scarring they had because of the wildfires. So it is a trying time right now, but we did need the rain. Hopefully we're going to dry out a little bit, and then on Thursday or late Wednesday, we might see rain again late tomorrow into Thursday, maybe more north than metro, but still there's a chance on Thursday. And we know the omnipresent fog is around now because the lows are in the mid-40s, and you have the moisture in the air, and so that's a combination for fog, particularly as the rain leaves us as it has right now. As far as the highs go, looking at 57 today, 60 tomorrow, again, morning fog, and then rain late, a chance tomorrow with that 60. 57 on Thursday, and occasional raindrops around the valley. Then back to a 58 on Friday, partly cloudy, and then over the weekend, 62, 63, so 62 on game day, the 7:30 start against Utah State, and on both days over the weekend, it'll be the usual AM fog and then sun in the afternoon, and then we'll finish up the 7-day with a foggy Monday in 64. So very seasonal kind of forecast after being really warm in the 80s. Now we come down into the 60s, and we start to get used to the fog again, which will be here through, as we know, December, January, and into February, though I mentioned this as a kid who has or did have a February birthday. I still have a February birthday as long as I'm kicking on the planet, which is also problematic, incidentally. But as a kid, when I had the birthday parties, if I ever did, it always looked like something out of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. Now February looks like springtime here, so I don't know if you buy into any kind of global warming or whatever. I just know February has no longer been part of December or part of the December-January wintertime mode that it used to be. We'll get there at some point. Right now, enjoy it, and I hope you have a good Thanksgiving coming up next week. And I'll tell you about that schedule because we'll be maneuvering around. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. But thanks, everybody, at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather. Lee'sAir.com, 825-5337, 825-Lee's. Anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing. Final reminder, our friend Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, been a great booster at Fresno State, a longtime friend, an outstanding basketball player in his own right, and a big fan of Fresno State Athletics. That's why he's been a booster for over three decades in his very successful business, celebrating its 25th anniversary. Again, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, it's all there under one roof, 4529 North Marty Avenue in town, Suite 103. Give him a call at 266-7473, that's 266-PIPE, or he and Gabe, who works for Joe, they're on site. More information on the web if you prefer, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Family-friendly business. If you're someone working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, if you're a tanker delivery individual, if you're working around a boiler, anybody who deals with valves for their financial well-being from a professional standpoint, an industrial standpoint, if a valve goes down, your business can go crashing down in a big hurry and your bottom line takes a catastrophic hit. What Joe can do for you and Gabe as well, tell them what you need. They will analyze your situation. If you're taking a hit right now, they'll keep you up and running. If you've already taken that big hit, they'll get you back up and running. Either way, they will, on a same-day basis, address your needs and take care of it as quickly as they possibly can. Their pricing is outstanding and their service is great. And if you have a chance, if you stop in and see Joe in person or you want to give him a call, after he's done addressing your needs, if you have a few minutes, he will tell you what he has done in regard to being a booster for over three decades at Fresno State and will send you to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. We talk about this every day. When you get there, there's a donate link at the top. You can't miss it. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of donation. It will start with Bulldog Foundation, the BDF, by the way, celebrating its 75th anniversary right now. After you're there, or you hit the header there, you will see that they have got not only the information for BDF membership, but also they can carry you to different levels so that you can check out Club Red, for instance, which is the former players, or you can go to the major giving societies where you have the Green Bee Society and the Myers Champion Circle. Under Ways to Give, the other link, you've got Methods of Support that delineates how you can support Fresno State. Also, the Valley Co-op is there, which is very important. And then the sports clubs, where you can send your money directly to the sport you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig on the board of directors of the timeout club with me every Wednesday to talk basketball, and we'll certainly talk about the game tonight when Jack joins me at 2:05 tomorrow. And Jack has said they'd love to have more members. You can call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, FurtigJack@AOL.com. Also find links for other sports there, Dugout Club, for instance, for baseball and other men's and women's sports under sports clubs. And then finally, you've got a link for more information. It's literally a link that says more. Click on that. Tickets and parking, other events on campus, all of that is right there at GoBulldogs.com under the donate link itself. And as we mentioned before, NIL money's in-house at Fresno State as of July. Any sponsorship idea you have, any donation, big or small, contact the university, and you'll be able to at least get the ball rolling for your business in whatever way you'd like. If you have a player you want to sponsor, etc., make sure you go through Fresno State. We've talked about BulldogBread.com before. NIL money is very, very important at Fresno State. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. All that having been said, let's turn to our de facto co-host, the ever-patient Mr. Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I do not hear Jackson. Jackson, do you hear me?
You hear me, Tony? I can hear you.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I think we have the same issue with this digital line, and that is Jackson can hear me. I can't hear Jackson, so let's do this, Jorge. Let's take a quick break. I will come back on the cell, and we'll get on with the show as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN.
Doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing just nifty, Jackson. In the way of explanation, let me explain. AT&T does not want to continue to maintain the long-standing analog line, so everything's switching over to digital. And in doing that, sometimes there are interfacing issues. I'm not going to go all techno geek on everybody, but it's the reason that we have not been on the normal live link, and it's also the reason that we've been trying to sort this out on a day-to-day basis. And right now, the best avenue is to do just what I did, which is to get back onto the cell while we figure the rest of it out. So I appreciate your patience, Jackson, and to the listening audience as well. That having been said, let's get started with where the Bulldogs are at football-wise, and then we'll see if we have some time for basketball again. 6 o'clock tonight, Stephen F. Austin is in at SMC. Jackson will be there, and we'll be doing the thread on the bark board. Jackson, I mentioned to Paul yesterday that it was a good Saturday for Fresno State because they won, and they won fairly convincingly. It almost turned into a great Saturday for Fresno State. Utah State had a kicker who was 10 for 10 going into that game at Allegiant and missed 3 field goals, including a couple of game winners, one right at the end of regulation. That was a very easy kick that he would normally make. It's amazing, as I stated yesterday, that you could kick in sometimes tough conditions in Logan and be okay, and then go into the controlled environment of Allegiant and miss field goals. But that's what happened. And UNLV escaped, and I do mean escaped, with what could have been a very important loss by UNLV for Fresno State. Earlier in the day, New Mexico did not play a great game against Colorado State and saw their 10-0 lead. The Lobos did get away, and in the fourth quarter, Colorado State had tied the game, and they were driving for potentially a winning score when there was a deflected pass that turned into an INT that spun the game back to New Mexico. Those two losses, had they happened with UNLV and New Mexico, would have meant Fresno State, later in the night, of course, Boise State lost to San Diego State, would have meant the Bulldogs would have controlled their own fate. Didn't turn out that way, but Fresno State is still in a good position. Ask you what I asked Paul yesterday, Jackson. If the Bulldogs beat Utah State 7:30 at the Valley Children's on Saturday, and then the following weekend at San Jose, your opinion, will they find their way in, giving the finishing schedules for both New Mexico and for UNLV?
Yeah, you sure hope so. And there's definitely a case to be made with Hawaii and UNLV playing on Friday. You feel like there's a good shot the Rainbow Warriors could take care of business there, but it is in Vegas. It could go either way. And if UNLV does survive that one, all they've got left after that's Nevada, which is a tricky game oftentimes for the Rebels with that rivalry, but on paper, not one you're counting on. So while it would have been very nice for UNLV and New Mexico to have gotten out of the way this past weekend, I think the games you probably had circled were UNLV taking on Hawaii, and then for New Mexico, their last game against San Diego State. If you're looking for one loss for both of those two teams, I think those are the ones you had circled. I wouldn't count out the Lobos losing to Air Force this weekend either. It's tough to count on it, but I do think with the parity in the conference, it's even 2 games now to go. It's tough for anyone to knock out 2 in a row, even Fresno State with the Utah State team coming in. That's the line's even smaller than the normal home field advantage would be. So a lot of tough matchups here for everyone down the final stretch. And I hope it's truly earned by someone and that we're not arguing about computers after Thanksgiving weekend.
Well, and that's the point that we've talked about, that you don't play UNLV in New Mexico this year. Of course, you're not going to be playing them on a regular basis in conference anymore unless there's a radical change coming that we don't know about, right, between now and next fall. But you've got a situation where you can't control your fate against those two, and it could be thrown to the computers. We talked about San Jose State not being pleased about the arrangement. Now, admittedly, as was brought up on the show, and I'm well aware of it, if we were still in divisional play, then the Bulldogs would be in arrears to San Diego State. But also, if we were still in divisional play, the schedules would be different and everybody would be playing everybody within division. All that having been said, all you can do if you're Fresno State is put blinders on and win the next two games. I did want to mention, though, for people interested in watching the UNLV and New Mexico matchups, particularly this weekend, the UNLV game against Hawaii, which I think is going to be a tough game for the Rebels, that is actually on Friday on FS1 at 7:30. So that's a game that you can see without having everything else in the way. And then New Mexico and Air Force play at 4 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. Actually, that is the game directly in front of Fresno State and Utah State, because the Bulldog game against Utah State is on CBS Sports Network. Then the following weekend, that game at Nevada is a 6 o'clock start, while the Bulldogs have a 7:30 at San Jose State. And the New Mexico-San Diego State game is going to be played the day before at 12:30. So the Bulldogs are going to have a very, very good idea, provided they win against Utah State. Fresno State will know basically what's going on, particularly with New Mexico. They'll already know, and they'll be at halftime probably of the Nevada game when the Bulldogs take the field against San Jose State. So we'll address that at that time. But I will ask you, Jackson, when you look at the likely occurrences of things, are the Bulldogs in a better position than anybody else right now? Because as we mentioned yesterday, San Diego State could, even if they beat San Jose State this weekend at home, the Aztecs could go into New Mexico, where the winner of that game is the one seed and the loser could end up out. Is that a good harbinger for Fresno State if the Aztecs have a lot at stake that final weekend against New Mexico?
Yeah, I mean, it would be trouble for Fresno State as well if, say, New Mexico's got two losses, San Diego State's got one loss, and then you have both of them in that two-loss tie, because now there's even more teams in that computer poll, and it doesn't seem to bode well for the Bulldogs right now. So I think from the head-to-head possibilities, the fact that, if San Diego State wins out, there's not a single team in this race that will have that head-to-head edge over the Bulldogs. That's a great position to be in on one hand, but on the other side, you tie with one team that you're not having that full tiebreaker over with, and you're probably out based off the way the computer polls look right now, which is not a great place to be in, because you could take care of business, win the last two games, and still be on the outside looking in if either UNLV or New Mexico went out, or if San Diego State drops one of two games. So it is a tough spot to be at. There's definitely a path for Fresno State to cleanly get to the championship game, and there's also a path for them to win out and still get left out.
Well, and this is why it can become so dizzying after a while, right? When we talk about these scenarios, we talk about 2014, if you remember how crazy that was. But the thing is this, as much as you would like to say it would be a good idea for Mexico to lose at Air Force, what you're bringing up is the intriguing part of this, Jackson. If it turns out that UNLV beats Hawaii on Friday coming up, now all of a sudden you have to wonder if you really want New Mexico to lose to Air Force, because then, you said, San Diego State goes in and basically they're in great shape. If New Mexico beats Air Force, San Diego State could see their one seed at jeopardy, which means for hosting, which means they're more motivated to play the game against New Mexico. So it just, you don't know who your enemy is exactly, right, except the team directly across from you, because we know this. The Bulldogs aren't getting in with a third loss. Is that fair to say? in conference?
Yeah, I would say so. I think there's enough teams here in the mix that at least two are going to finish with two losses, probably more. But hopefully for the Bulldogs' sake, no more than a couple of teams that they have tiebreakers against.
Well, that's why we're talking yesterday, and I talked to Panish about it on Friday, Teddy's line when we go through these scenarios like in 2017, and he said, look, we're in our submarine here. We are down below the surface. All that noise is above us. We don't worry about it. I'm sure that Matt Entz would say the same thing. Our job is, A, to be Utah State, B, to finish up by winning at San Jose State, and then we'll worry about where we're at, which is the proper way, but you and I both know in social media it's very difficult to think your players aren't paying attention to at least a little bit of that scoreboard watching. That having been said, Jackson, the last 3 weeks the Bulldogs have had, I don't want to call it the good fortune or just circumstances in their favor, particularly when Madsen got hurt early in the Boise State game, where you played three less than dynamic offenses right in a row. San Diego State, outstanding defense, but again, they only had a two-possession lead over Fresno State, 16-0, going to the fourth. Boise State, once Madsen went out, they had no offense whatsoever. Now, give the Bulldog defense a lot of credit, as you give the Bulldog defensive credit for what happened against San Diego State, at least staying in the ballgame into the fourth. And then, of course, last week, Wyoming wasn't exactly Air Coryell out there, okay? So you were able to take Conklin's less than productive quarterbacking as far as points and yards gained and all that stuff, but the fact that he was mistake-free, and translate that to your defense and your running game winning those games. Can you get away with that again, Jackson, against Utah State with Barnes there where they can be very explosive? In San Jose State, at times the Spartans have been explosive offensively. Can you use the same MO if you're Matt Entz, which is let's not make mistakes? If they're three and out, so be it. As long as we can run the football and not turn it over, we're going to win. Will it work for the 2 weeks coming up the way it did the last three?
Oh, yeah, I think that's the storyline here that we'll see what happens on. I think the Bulldogs, they've got into situations against teams that either are capable of being explosive or happen to be explosive against them in the case of Colorado State. And they weren't able to survive it. They weren't able to play their style of play, and they kind of ditched the playbook and panicked, it seemed like. And I think they kind of learned their lesson against San Diego State on that, and we've seen it in the last two games where they were going to run the ball no matter what, and they were going to be, you know, as stingy as they could on defense and let the rest of the game take care of itself. And I do think that from, you know, you talk about the last three offenses not being all that stellar, but they were all projected to score more points than they did against Fresno State, even in the case of Boise State with Madsen going down. He really didn't do anything on his first three drives, and that was a strong running game that I think on paper probably should have still been able to have pushed the Bulldogs around a little bit more than they were able to, even with the quarterback situation. So I give a lot of credit to Fresno State's defense. I think they're going to give, as long as they can handle a mobile quarterback here that is going to add to the running game. The Bulldogs haven't seen much of that since Kansas. That's something that we'll see if the defense can appropriately handle. But other than that, they've been as solid as possible, and I think you're going to see an offense that's going to run the ball no matter what. And then it probably comes down to a handful of passing plays where we'll see if Carson Conklin and this offense can get it done or not. They obviously haven't had to do much the last two games through the air, but this could be one where there's going to be some key third downs and red zone situations where that might make or break whether they win or not.
The way the Bulldogs played last week, I know that it didn't exactly light up the fan base, and I know it was a tough night. But if you were to say going into the season that's exactly what you expected to see from a Matt Entz run team, Jackson, would that be fair to say? I mean, you won by three touchdowns. I mean, do you say that, hey, you know what, that is the MO?
I would say so, and it's nice to see them get back to that because, I mean, between a good portion of the Nevada game, most of Colorado State, all of San Diego State, it just felt like, you know, what was this offense's identity? You know, they weren't really running the ball very well, and when they were forced to pass, they weren't doing that very well. It was, what exactly are they doing out there? This isn't what we expected to see, and they really got back to it against Boise State. So that's been nice to see. And I mean, the last two ways they've won games, they're not the most exciting. They're not going to put up the most yards out of any team, but if they can play that good a defense and be secure with the ball, not turn it over, run it, win the field position, that is going to win a lot of games. Now, Utah State's going to have a chance to break this thing open a little bit more and create some bigger plays than the last couple of opponents have been capable of. But in general, if they can apply that, it's going to win a lot of games. And then you're going to have times where the game's going to be on the line and you got to throw it. And we haven't really seen much from Carson Conklin yet, but this might be the game where he's got to click another notch. I would say July, August, we had about the quarterback battle. My whole take was that this whole operation is built so that the quarterback's not going to win you a game and he's not going to lose you a game. And I think that's pretty fair still to say to this point. I don't think there's any quarterback performance that could have came against Kansas, Colorado State, or San Diego State that was going to turn any of those losses into wins. And, I guess there was one drive at the end where at Oregon State where E.J. Warner made a couple plays. Other than that, I mean, I think most of the wins have been more run-heavy and defense-heavy. So and that's the team that they were aiming to be, and what's been most of the year is just right now it's been pretty successful the last two games.
By the way, one quick addendum here. When I talk about New Mexico winning at Air Force or losing at Air Force, what I'm referring to is if you get, and you know this, Jackson, in a crazy multi-team tiebreaker with a team you may have beaten, but in a round robin, they beat other clubs you lost to, that's where it would be better for Fresno State if they knew San Diego State was sitting alone, correct? And then when you take that out of the mix and who else is involved, it may be better for you just head-to-head, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If it's Fresno State, Boise State, Hawaii, theoretically tied all at 6-2 for second place, the Bulldogs get in clean with tiebreakers. But if San Diego State loses the game and now it's a 4-team tiebreaker, the Bulldogs may just well be fourth in that order of operations with the computer poll. So it's a real odd situation there with the way that this all break down.
Well, and that's why, from my point of view, we know this. Fresno State is not going to be able, in my opinion, to host. I know there are certain scenarios where they could, but I will tell you this, Jackson, if you were to tell me right now, and I think every Bulldog fan probably feels this way, that you're going to end up at Snapdragon on, what is it, December 5th, I believe, that Friday, I don't think anybody from a Fresno State point of view, number one, you'd be glad you're in the title game. But number two, I don't think the Bulldogs are afraid of the San Diego State fan base being intimidating. Is that a pretty fair assumption? And the weather probably isn't an issue. So if you're not going to be at home, isn't that the best place probably to be?
Yeah, so I would say so. Everything kind of checks the box except for the last time you faced them, of course. Obviously, your offense put up a goose egg, so that's going to be something they're going to have to overcome if they get that opportunity at a rematch. And
yeah,
Carson Conklin in start number six should be much different than in start number one. And this offense in general has already, I think, turned the corner with the way they've been able to run the ball. But that Aztec defense is still probably going to be quite a bit better than anything the Bulldogs would have faced on the way to get back to San Diego State.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also know there are places that you could go where the weather might be an issue and the fans might be an issue, and that is not the case in San Diego. It's also within reach of your fan base if you choose. We'll see. The Bulldogs would take it. I think that's a fair statement. Right now, if Matt Ensor's told that he's going to be the two seed and he's going to play at Snapdragon, he's going to say, that's fine with me. We'll see how it plays out this weekend. So watch the games leading up to Fresno State. If you're tailgating, I hope you've got the mini dish out there, whatever you might have to check it out. And we'll certainly keep you apprised, and I know Jackson will as well, from GameSite. All right, we're going to talk more about Utah State in specificity on Thursday. But I had brought up to Paul yesterday that Barnes can be a lowercase version of Josh Allen. Is that a fair statement? I'm not saying he's Josh Allen. Very few are after Josh just had the, what, since Otto Graham, nobody had three TDs through the air and three running himself in an NFL game. Got to go back to the 50s, for goodness sake. But Barnes is a scary guy because he can throw it and he can certainly run it, and he's a big, strong dude. That's where the comparisons come, correct?
Yeah, I would say so. I think as far as the Bulldogs are concerned, they're probably thinking along the lines of Jalen Daniels, who they saw at Kansas earlier this year.
Right.
A guy that, despite their 5-5 record, has rather impeccable numbers, 21 touchdowns and 3 picks I'm looking at right now on the season. And but it was probably more of an issue for the Bulldogs on the ground. So I think the issue for Fresno State, the big concern, is that this is such a sound defense. They're really built on limiting big plays and being real assignment sound and everyone doing their job. But a guy that can run, you know, now all of a sudden you have to factor that in. That's one less guy doing one job and trading that for, you know, being a spy or making sure that the quarterback doesn't break loose. And they haven't had to deal with that for the last few games, or, you know, a very strong version of it ever since Kansas at all. So that, you know, could change the math for the Bulldog defense. I think that's probably the biggest concern. I know immediately after the Kansas game, Coach Ince was talking about how there were some other ways they maybe should have tried to approach that game. So I'm sure they've got other ideas and game plans to account for that this time around. But it definitely makes things more difficult than the last few offenses they've seen. I don't think we'll see quite the O-line or the skills position players that the Jayhawks had around Jalen Daniels that made things even tougher at Kansas, but it's still a big element they have to worry about.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. Also, when we talk about going on the road, I would not want to go to New Mexico in a sandstorm or something, okay, which we've seen before, okay? So maybe if you could make a title game and play it in San Diego, if you can't play at home, or, you know, maybe if you can find your way to Allegiant, I don't think you're going to see a raucous crowd against you there either. We'll see how it plays out. And as far as, you know, what the Bulldogs were able to do with Barnes and Utah State, we'll talk more about that on Thursday. I did want to ask you about Warner, because it has come up, as you're well aware, on the board many, many times. Job one is to get yourself to the title game. I mean, the goal, as you're aware, going into the season, as any coach, and Matt Ince certainly falls in line with this, it is to win your conference. You know, we can talk about making the playoffs or whatever is the group of five, all of that kind of stuff, but everybody will say your focus is to win your conference. That having been said, Jackson, if it comes down to a situation where the offense just can't get it in gear against a team like Utah State or San Jose State, who can at times light it up, can you see, even though Warner is on his way out as a senior, can you see Ince going back to Warner if it necessitates that, or is that just off the manifest completely right now?
Yeah, I do think it's off the table now. At the same time, he's one injury away from being back in there, and so they got to make sure that relationship is still maintained and everyone's on the same page and that he's ready to go if needed for that reason. I don't see other than that a situation where the Bulldogs would make a move down the final stretch here. And that's also critical because Coach Ince just announced today after practice that Jaden Mandel is officially out for the year due to some injuries and surgery he had yesterday. So he is out, and that's pretty much it for the quarterback room. There's two freshmen, but I don't think they're prepared to handle the offense unless it's an absolute emergency where two quarterbacks go down and they've got no other options. So I see Conklin leading the way the rest of the way unless there's some sort of injury. And then hopefully Warner's in the mindset to go back in and help finish things off. The timing was not great for Warner, but it is good for Fresno State in the sense that if he would have been swapped out four games in, he could have been looking at a red shirt and wouldn't probably want to go back into a game on a moment's notice. But right. Since it happened, game seven, game eight, there's no other option but for him to go in there and lead the offense if he's called upon to do so.
You know, I was thinking the other day, as absurd as this has gotten now with the eligibility and people moving around, maybe what we need to do is rethink this and say, you know what, since this is now de facto professional sport, let's just say anybody can play college football up until the time they're 25 years old, play as many seasons as you like between 18 and 25. How about that, Jackson? Kind of like Little League, right, where once you turn 13, you're not allowed to play Little League anymore. They say until you turn 25, you can just play wherever you like. Would that make it easier?
It feels like it's inevitable that we're going to get to a point where you're just going to have 5 years, no red shirts. I know it's been discussed. It just hasn't quite gone into motion behind the scenes, but it feels like that's kind of what's next on all this.
Well, we have talked about that before. I think it makes the most sense in this day and age where you don't have to sit out, where you're chasing the money half the time, where a degree has become inconsequential. And I guess as long as you attach the criteria that you stay academically eligible, whether you're matriculating toward a degree or not, you can get 12 units and you can stay eligible, then, you know, play wherever you like. And after 5 years, you're done. And that way we don't, you know, worry about if you play five or if you're Diego Pavia, you play, what, 18? Isn't this his 20? I mean, he and Steph Curry have both been playing their sport about the same amount of time for pay. Am I correct? 17 years? Isn't that the case with Pavia, who's now in his mid-30s, or do I have this wrong?
Well, Jaden Pearson feels like one of those guys for the Bulldogs. I think he's on year 7. He said he's got, like, 3 degrees now, and that was before he got to Fresno State. So there's a few of those cases on the Bulldogs' own roster.
Yeah, but nobody's cashed in like Pavia. I mean, remember, it was Pavia who had that first initial run against Fresno State when he was playing for New Mexico State. How long ago does that seem now, that bowl game, right? And he's still at it. And he's a very popular guy in Vanderbilt land, I'll tell you that. The entirety of the Vanderbilt family is very pleased about it. All right. Again, Fresno State, Utah State, 7:30. We'll talk more about it on Thursday in specificity. Jackson, in the few minutes we have left, I want to ask you about the basketball team. I know they came back to win Saturday. What was the attendance? Do you know what the actual butts in seats might? Did somebody look? There was a team in the National Football League, the original Dallas Texans. Now, one iteration of the Dallas Texans became the Kansas City Chiefs, and they still are. But the first Dallas Texans in the old 50s in the National Football League folded up mercifully. I mean, it was a team where the coach actually had to say, practice is over, you better take your checks and run to the bank before they bounce, all right? And their version of practice was to play volleyball over the goalposts with the football. That's how much the Texans prepared, all right? They played a Thanksgiving game, and their coach said they played a Thanksgiving game at the Rubber Bowl in Akron, Ohio. And their coach said to them, guys, normally the public address announcer would announce you to the crowd. But looking out at the crowd right now, I think you have the rare opportunity to walk up and introduce yourself individually to everybody in the crowd. Okay, that's how many people were there. Think of Fresno State against SMU at the old Cotton Bowl in 1999, and that's what you had, Jackson, when they played that particular game. Is that what we had Saturday night at SMC? I'm just wondering.
I know there's an official report of almost 3,000 fans. It's probably
dressed
like a couple hundred.
Red seats? Wait a second. Was it dressed as a red velvet seat you get in for free? Is that the case?
You know, I was watching, I had the basketball game on my laptop in the press box at the football game. It was a weird sentence to say, but there were some camera angles where there were actually more humans, not seats, than I expected to see. But hopefully more people out there tonight with no football game to worry about.
Well, and I know that the weather was tough for even people to get there. And I've said this before, when we had the Renaissance under Boyd Grant, it was great. You had a 6,600-seat Celland Arena at that point, the original configuration. But also, Jackson, the reality was if you wanted to see Fresno State play at that particular point, you had one option, show up at Celland Arena. Now what you have is the ability on the Internet, without it costing you anything at all except, you know, to pick up a Roku or watch it on your computer, people can stay home and still follow the program. The challenge is to get people to come out
because they want to be part of the atmosphere, and of course that can feed in itself, because then if you have that, you might have more enthusiasm and the team might play better. But right now it's still at an arm's length kind of deal. Have you seen progress with this team, or is it too early to tell?
I think there's improvement from last year. I think just the fact that they have a full roster to go with is progress enough. It was just about near impossible for them to get across the finish line at the end of last year, the crazy way that season played out. So I think they've got a roster to do a lot of what Coach Wahlberg wants to implement. I think there's been times at home where the fans have been able to get behind it and get excited. And I was happy to see them kind of steal a win, because while the USC Upstate loss was bad, it hurt more because they were in control for most of that game. And they almost stole one from UC San Diego, and then they did steal one from Utah Valley, two games they were behind for most of the game, but ultimately get that win against Utah Valley. So feels like that offsets things a little bit. They got another tough one with Stephen F. Austin tonight, another team that comes in as slight favorites on Fresno State's home floor. But I think there's promise here. I think a little bit of the struggle right now is that you've got 10 or 11 guys that you want to get on the floor, but it's been a little bit of a challenge the first few games to figure out who works best together and who's actually a gamer and who needs to not be out there so much, and where the shots need to be distributed at most to certain players. And hopefully this week they'll get David Douglas involved with that as well. That'll add to that a little bit, but it's just tough because I think these non-conference games, you see the logos before the year started and you kind of expect Fresno State to win against those types of teams. But the New Orleans of the world and the Stephen F. Austins are better than probably you would have thought. So meanwhile, some of the Mountain West is struggling. So not so easy wins right now, maybe some more attainable games than you thought later on down the road.
Right, and Stephen F. Austin is 4-0. They beat Rice on the road. They beat Arkansas State, and also Abilene Christian, and they beat Millsaps. Now, I know Paul had a great career in the NBA after La Tech. I didn't realize he could buy a university, but evidently he and his family have Millsaps. I'll never be able to use that joke again because I'll never talk about Millsaps again, but I thought I'd give it a shot. All right, Jackson, appreciate it. I'll talk to you on Thursday. What's up on the board? Were you looking at 30%, a buck for a month? Where are we at here?
Yeah, it's currently 30% off the year and $1 for your first month to try it out. And along with two very critical games, we've also got National Signing Day just 2 weeks and a day away. So a lot's going on. Bulldogs have been working the junior college route here the last week or so on the recruiting trail, so a lot going on.
A lot of recruits there for that glorious rain on Saturday night, right?
Yeah, there was it was relatively the smallest group they've had this season, but still well over 50 and a couple of official visitors, so they made the most out of it. Hopefully they have a big group in for this last one Saturday.
Well, we'll talk about it in days to come. Jackson, appreciate it, my friend. Talk to you Thursday. Take care.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, the practical host, Jackson Moore, barkboard.com. Get the sub. It's very, very inexpensive and well worth it. All right, guys, before we wrap it up, hand it off to Phil. His outstanding show behind the bench for 3 hours today. I want to remind you, Phil, normally 3 to 6, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture, their good friend Rod Avedikian, best furniture on the planet. Nothing like in all of California. El Paso across from River Park. Phil is there. Great conversation. You can stop in and see him. Pick up some good eats as well there while you're hanging out. And if you'd prefer, you can stand next to him and pull out your cell and give him a call on the Lee's Air hotline at 559-320-1430. Kind of like the kids in middle school that sit next to one another within arm's length and then text each other. So that's what you could do. You could text Phil right next to him, and then you could ask him a question directly. Stop in and see him on Thursdays. I want to remind you about the entirety of the schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Also, Ed, a great benefactor for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State, where the goal is to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully, and Ed has a lot of those graduates. Ed was himself a graduate a while back. a good while back, but Ed is still 8 years younger than I am, so he's a very young guy. That's how I'm playing it. But a lot of those grads go to work for Ed at Precision, and we appreciate everything Ed does for the station and for his alma mater. As far as the lineup tonight, the Lakers and the Jazz, 7:30, 7:15, John Ireland, Michael Thompson, the Laker Network. Sharks later in the week. Of course, the NFL kicks off again on Thursday. By the way, remind you, the 49ers host Carolina next Monday, so it's Major Wager Monday. That means Carter and the gang, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar in Dakota, Granite Park, great conversation, the great food of me and Ed's, big screen TVs, and a very meaningful game for the 49ers coming up on Monday. We, of course, have the Raider and Ram games as well, and then national games from Westwood One, or if it's one of our teams, as is the case next Monday, we have their feed on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday, everything all the way through the Super Bowl. Also remind you, and Phil will tell you more about it, basketball coming up on Wednesday here in town. So he'll tell you about that fine high school matchup as soon as he arrives on air. The other reminders, in addition to Phil's fine show Behind the Bench, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6, Paul Metters has two fine shows, Sunbird Sports Show on our sister station, the Deuce 790, 6 to 7 in the evening on Wednesdays, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. Also, Paul has his long-running show from First String Sports on Saturday morning, Central Valley Sports Report, on 1430, 10 a.m. to noon. Those two gentlemen and Pat Hill will be out at Collegian as we decide a division this Friday as Deegan Rose and Clovis plays against an outstanding Clovis East team, and that will be a 7 o'clock kick, I believe. I think that's the case with a 6:30 pre, but Phil will tell you more about that one as well. And, of course, heading to the state playoffs for teams in this area. Incidentally, very quickly here, our good friend Clovis Dave had brought up the fact that we brought the start of the year. Tony Caviglia, longtime friend. I've known Tony for a long, long time. Great person, great coach, retiring at FCC. And Clovis Dave had asked, will Kyle Biggs be the next coach? I'll tell you what, Kyle has had tremendous success at Central, and that would be a great choice for FCC. I don't know for sure, Dave, but I can't imagine a better hire right now. By the way, not only do we have Ron Scott retire a few years ago, but Eric Solberg stepping down at the same time now. Well-deserved retirement for Eric, for Tony C., and, of course, for Ron Scott a couple of years ago. Three terrific guys that we've known for a long, long time. Now, the other reminders here, in addition to both the shows that Paul has and Phil has, everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1@att.net, tdad, the number 1@att.net. First names are fine. Keep in mind, the live stream has been down, but on Facebook and YouTube, things are still there, and also the shows are posted under the podcast header at 1430ESPNFresno.com. We'll get the live link sorted out as quickly as possible. Now, as I bid you adieu, the final reminder comes courtesy of our friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, and in Kerman. One more time, they are right now back to the late 90s. I would love to be back to the late 90s right now, for a variety of reasons, but they have the classic honey barbecue flavor from that time on everything at the moment, the chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love. Check them out. Pick up a bucket or two. Pick up a chicken sandwich for just $3.99, or cash in on the great specials like the $10 eight-piece bucket on Tuesdays or the country fried steak for $5.99 on Wednesdays. Also, they have the chicken pot pie deal going right now. That one looks terrific. KFC, it's always finger-licking good, and we thank them for their support of athletics throughout the valley. So thanks to those operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Mention again, you can reach Phil on the Lee's Air hotline. That is 559-320-1430. We thank Lee's for their support, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. And thanks, of course, to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Phil is coming up. We'll see you guys tomorrow with Jack Furtig. Lakers a little bit later on tonight on KFIG Fresno.